You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with Rick Franzi and Doug Geveller.
Good afternoon and welcome to Critical Mass, the radio. This is your day, Rick Franzi. As it said in the open there, my business partner Doug Geveller and I co-host this business talk show, which airs Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday exclusively here live on octalkradio.net at 4 p.m. We host this show to help you, our listening audience, to be able to make better, more informed business decisions. And we do that by interviewing business leaders, executives, entrepreneurs who have transferable knowledge and ideas. Because our research shows that fully 80% of the issues and opportunities that you face as a business leader here in Orange County, California, or wherever around the world you might be listening to the show today, either live or at some point in the future on MP3, archive, downloadable file, that the issues you face are common, really, with those leading other organizations of similar size. This radio program is an extension of our 16-year business practice, where we do a number of things with our boutique consulting firm here in Orange County. One of them leads CEO peer groups. We do that in conjunction with the Renaissance Executive Forums, which is a 1,200-member international organization committed to helping executives take their businesses to the next level. Doug and I currently lead multiple peer groups here in Orange County. We also do executive coaching. Doug is a master certified coach, one of less than 900 who have reached that level of distinction and differentiation in the entire world. He's past president of the International Coach Federation, and he also hosts a regular show here on octalkradio.net, The Coaching Perspective, which is wildly successful based on early returns of people listening live and downloading MP3s of his show. It's been a great success, and we're excited to tell you more about it as we launch it even more regularly here on octalkradio.net in the future. Recently, my book, Critical Mass, The 10 Explosive Powers of CEO Peer Groups, has been called the definitive guide to experience. So if you're listening to the show today, live or later on MP3, and thinking, hey, what is that peer group stuff that Franzi keeps talking about? Then I would encourage you to go to Amazon.com, type in Richard Franzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I. Up will come the book, read some of the many reviews of the book. Hopefully you'll buy yourself a copy. Maybe you'll also buy a couple extras for business leaders and executives who you know that could benefit from that. My producer suggesting 5 is a good number, and at least 5. So do that. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to learn more about what we do here at Critical Mass for Business, our boutique consulting firm, please check out our website, Critical Mass for F-O-R Business, and you will learn more about it. All right. Well, let's turn our attention to the first of not one, not two, but 3 guests that we have here on Critical Mass, the radio show today. But our first guest gets the next half hour all to herself. I'm excited to have Aeneas Tanji on the phone. She's the entrepreneur who has just launched earlier this summer Special Eats OC, and I'm so excited to have you on the show. Welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show.
Well, thank you so much, Rick. I'm excited to be on your show.
Well, let's get right into the interview, and if you could share with our audience a little bit about how you came about making the decision to start a business, get this, ladies and gentlemen, immediately after graduating from college.
Well, the Cal State Fullerton Entrepreneur Program really helped guide me. I went to Cal State University with a little seed of an idea, and after 2 semesters of, creating a business plan and then getting it ready to launch, the next logical step was actually launching the business. So I gained a lot of momentum. I was all fired up. I had the support of, mentors and my peers as well as the professors. And so I kind of just went head first and decided to launch my business June 27th. And, it took a moment. Now I'm, making sure that I take my time, and I really want to do it right. And, I want to be able to meet my customer expectations as well as the demand. So I'm going slow, but I am fully launched. So it's really exciting.
So at what age or what point did you know that you were an entrepreneur and that owning a business or leading a company, starting a company was in your future?
There's a series of events. I love sales. I love talking with people. There's certain things that I was very passionate about, food being one of them. It was a gradual process. So my first real, like, entrepreneurial venture was launching a student-run, volunteer lunch program at my adult education center in Canada. So that was my first big sales pitch, convincing 8 students to volunteer their time and, launch this healthy lunch program. I did some interning with a macrobiotic chef who did medicinal cooking, and it really started becoming clear to me that this is something that I love doing. I really wanted to heal and nourish people with food. And then I kind of fell into the entrepreneur program. And then they really just support you every step of the way. And, I couldn't have done it without my professors. And it was just, it was very gradual. Then once you launch, you're in it. So I'm just, I'm so excited.
So your business is named Special Eats OC. Tell the audience and tell me, what's the secret behind the name and how did you decide on the name?
Well, Special Eats OC is a business that meets people's special dietary needs. We want to give people that extra special love and attention and really listen to what they want and, kind of create a food service that meets their special dietary needs, whether it's they have gluten intolerance or food allergies or, the autistic community or people that suffer from celiac disease. We created this food service with them in mind. And so with the help of one of my friend's uncle, we were eating dinner and you have a pen and paper and you come up with 1,000 different names and nothing really sounds great. And I started off with health conscious cuisine and it didn't really have that pop to it. So, he was like, well, how about Special Eats? And I was like, oh my gosh, that's it. Special Eats OC for people with special needs. And it sounded right. And, that's how we chose the name.
Well, so you knew it when you heard it, and I agree. It does connote part of your brand promise. You mentioned special needs, and you mentioned the autistic community. So could you share, Anise, with our audience a little bit about your experience to date in preparing a dietary plan for people with autism and the autistic community?
Well, I'm very new at this, and there's so much more that I need to learn. So, I'm a self-taught cook, and again, I did some interning with a medicinal chef. So she cooked for people that had macrobiotic diets, as well as those that couldn't eat gluten, which was, wheat, as well as casein, which is a protein found in dairy. So it's basically eliminating those two things from their diet, and they found like a lot of these people have problems processing food and digesting food properly, and their body reacts negatively to gluten and casein. So, I'm not a nutritionist, I'm not a dietitian. It's kind of hands-on learning that I've done, but I really have seen the difference that these people also feel, when they adopt these diets, or it's more of a lifestyle than a diet. And so, and then you start finding out that there's gluten in just about everything. So a lot of processed foods contain gluten. So it's, again, I'm still learning, but I've done a few cooking jobs, and I've volunteered my time and cooking for friends and family and just reading up on how to spot gluten and remove it from your diet. So,
well, audience know that I have had a chance to taste some of the food that you prepare. You cater the lunch at Cal State Fullerton, and I was blown away by the quality of the food, the taste, the presentation, and that's really from that experience kind of led us to where we are now, having you on the show after you've launched your company and begun to provide service here in Orange County. I think you are capitalizing on a macroeconomic trend, which is the awakening in many parts of the country here in the U.S. to
right.
the importance of diet and the awareness. And so even for individuals who maybe don't feel like they have special needs, maybe they're not, you know, specifically gluten or other things cause them dietary restrictions, but just the awakening that what I put in my mouth is important and getting to
right.
a healthier, more natural diet, you also are very capable, and your menu that I've seen you develop, there really are, I think you're able to take advantage of what I hope to be a new trend emerging strongly in this country, which is people kind of eating a little bit with more awareness of the type of food that they're eating.
I agree. And, you know, that's a good point. And what I want to do is really share with people that they can eat nutritious food that's also delicious. So that's, you know, our tagline, nutritious, delicious. And, you know, we are in control of the food we put into our body. And, you know, when I went to your recent conference, you know, the panelists asked that question, you know, really confirmed in my mind that the world needs, you know, special eats of fee. So, you know, they asked what's going on in the world that can drive growth. And again, this huge awareness that you're talking about with, you know, Jamie Oliver's food revolution and just, really seeing like Food Inc. and what are we eating, you know, and, yeah, it takes time and it takes effort, and we don't really know how to cook everything. You know, again, I taught myself by going onto Food Network and typing in an ingredient or looking through cookbooks, but, you know, anyone can do it. And you can have healthy food that tastes delicious. And, you know, it's we need to nourish ourselves as opposed to just, you know, fueling our body with, you know, processed foods.
I agree. Can you share with us a key lesson maybe that you've learned so far, either through your education, your apprenticeships, and now you're launching a business, kind of a guiding principle that you're using to approach how you develop and build Special Eats OC?
Definitely. You know, I remember when I first started the entrepreneurial program at Cal State Fullerton, they asked that question, why are you in this program? What do you want to do with this knowledge? And, you know, people are like, oh, I want to be my own boss. And what I learned is that being an entrepreneur is extremely difficult. You know, it's going to require tons of time, tons of energy. And what's really kept me going is having this passion and drive to really, you know, make this business a success. And the way I define success is, you know, healing and nourishing with food. So the lesson that I've learned is, you know, no matter how hard it gets, to not give up, you know. And I've gone through so many obstacles and so many, I've learned so many lessons along the way. I fought so hard to get to where I am, and just, if it's something you believe in and something you're passionate about, you know, just keep going.
And that lesson will serve you well in the coming months and years as you endeavor to build a successful firm. Persistence and passion, those are powerful. You know, you talked a little bit about getting the business off the ground. You've also talked about the fact that you're Canadian. So could you maybe share with our audience some, you know, a current unresolved challenge facing your business and sort of how you're working through it?
Oh, definitely. You know, I love being Canadian, but when you're launching a business here in the States, it's definitely poses serious, you know, again, obstacles. It's been really, really frustrating. So simple things like filing, you know, your business name or all these legal steps you have to go through to launch a legal business. It's just been very, very difficult. And, you know, as a student, I had a lot of restrictions, and I wasn't able to launch until just recently. And so, you know, I have a limited time with this business, but I'm going to give it everything I have. And you would think that if you're coming into America, it's the land of opportunity. I want to hire people. You know, I want to generate revenue for California. And you think that they would let you do that, but it's not the case at all. So, you know, I'm still struggling with, you know, the legal implications of owning a business as a Canadian. So, and, you know, becoming an American citizen. So, you know, it's a constant struggle, but again, the more you fight for something, the more you value it. So,
well,
I value
it's,
my
it's
business.
Sort of what, I'm sorry, sort of what you don't know either, right? You have in your mind's eye, okay, I think I understand the process and I'll get it, I'll go off and get it accomplished. And then you discover these obstacles and other things that have to happen. And experience, there's nothing like experience as the teacher, but you know, I'm certain other people out there who can remember back to when they've launched their firm, or maybe they're also entrepreneurs in the middle of their firms to life. You know, you just, there's just so many things. And many times, there's nobody else to do it. I mean, you've got to, if it needs to get done, you have to get it done yourself, right? You're the person that's doing everything.
Right, right. And, you know, it's a scary feeling every once in a while. It's like, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? And that's where, you know, you need to stop and take the time to ask people that know more than you and, you know, who have maybe gone through the similar experience and not be afraid to, you know, put yourself out there and ask as many people as you have to until you get the right answers, because it's hard to navigate. Just launching a business in itself is overwhelming. So then to launch it and also have to face this extra challenge of, well, being a Canadian isn't a challenge. I love it, but in this case, it's become quite quite a challenge. But I'm sure I'll figure it out somehow.
I'm sure you will. Can you let's do some informal business planning, Aeneas? Take us out 5 years and tell me what we're going to see when we have you back on the show to talk about Special Eats OC 5 years from now. What's your vision for your firm?
Well, I really want us to be an established food delivery service. You know, we also cater special events, but what I see for this business 5 years from now is really a way to teach people healthy tips and recipes, you know, both in person and maybe social media through YouTube. But I want to really work with kids, you know, and teach preventative measures, you know, how to eat right and to really inspire them on making healthy food choices. So I want to branch into different products. I mean, there's cultured vegetables, which is a fermented food and full of probiotics and enzymes and has a lot of nutritional benefits, and also a beverage, coconut kefir. So I have a lot of ideas. I get really excited when I talk about it. But I really want to get involved in the community, and I want to inspire people, you know, to live the nutritious, delicious lifestyle. So, you know, the question they always ask us in school is like, is this business scalable? You know, where do you see yourself? What do you want? And what I want is to feed people and to, you know, also have a successful business, of course, but just, I don't know, I want to teach, I want to inspire. So that's where I see myself in this business in 5 years.
Okay. And from a teaching and inspiring, you know, you mentioned that a part of your business is offering in-home kind of cooking, catering, preparing meals for people at their home for dinner parties, et cetera. What has been your experience when you've done that? The, say, the interest level of the guests and the host, and sort of, do you see any, does it develop legs for your business? In other words, if you have an in-home dinner party that you develop the menu for and serve the food, do you see that building kind of residual clients for Special Eats OC?
Definitely. I think the best selling point that I have is when people taste my food. So, you know, the more dinner parties I can cater, the more people that I can reach and just kind of hand them over some nutritious, delicious food and get them to taste it, you know, that experience is, you know, better than anything that I could ever say. So I think the biggest response is, oh my gosh, you know, this tastes so good. I can't believe it's also nutritious. So, you know, people want me to cater other events, or they decide to have the in-home food service where, you know, I listen to what their needs are, kind of develop a customer profile. I cook for them 2 times a week and just fill their fridge with healthy foods, you know, that meets their needs. Again, not just special dietary needs, but just whatever it is that they need. So, yeah, I definitely think that there's, you know, repeat customers, and it's great. I think, you know, the more people that I can feed, the more my business will grow.
Absolutely. And I assume it was nutritious, but it was certainly delicious when you had the lunch catered at Cal State Fullerton. And so I think I'm probably in some ways an example of what you just said. The best way is for people to taste your food. And as someone who had at least opportunity to have a lunch with you, it was outstanding. And I know other business people that I was sharing the table with were all remarking about the great taste of the food and the presentations. And so and the selection of the quality of what you serve. So I guess I would encourage those in the listening audience who are curious to, and we'll give your contact information here shortly, but, you know, consider Special Eats OC for that. Would you share with us a painful lesson maybe that you've learned in your process of bringing Special Eats OC to life?
Definitely. You know, it's, you definitely go through different lessons in this process, but I think the most painful lesson that I learned is, you know, recently just graduating, I was obviously really, I'm a hungry, you know, starving student. It was, you know, I wanted to get as much business as I could, and I was really looking for lots of opportunities, and, you know, I was scared to pass up on an opportunity that came my way. So I was presented with a great opportunity to make some cooking videos, and you know, when I was listening to the pitch, it didn't really fit into my business model, and it didn't really reach my target audience. And I kind of just, I don't know, it just, it didn't feel right for me, but I was so, you know, scared to say no. You know, it was one of those big opportunities that you feel like you have to pounce on. So it came to the point where I was really, I started asking questions, like if I accepted this opportunity, you know, what would that entail? And, you know, I was told that it would mean that I'd have to give up control of my business concept, you know, and invest my own time and energy and my own money for the promise of like a potential return on my investment. And so, you know, I'm still young and, you know, a woman, entrepreneur, I don't know a lot, and I was just, I was scared to stand up for myself and to just say no. And, you know, in the end, I feel like it's important to ask the right questions and to say no if you don't feel that it's right for you, and, you know, to always trust your gut. And, you know, I still question if I did the right thing, but I know that, you know, it's sometimes you can't do it all, and you have to be willing to stand up for what you believe in. So what I believed in was my business concept, and I believe that I knew that I wanted to retain control of it. And so, you know, I passed up on a great opportunity, and it was a painful lesson, but, you know, don't be scared to say no if it doesn't feel right for you.
And I think many entrepreneurs can understand that situation because they get tested.
Right.
Are they really committed to their business model? You know, there are temptations and distractions, and it's easy maybe to give up the ghost, you know, and
right.
Think a brand or an opportunity. So, yeah, I think good old life is presenting you with presented you with one of those challenges, and hopefully, and I think you have made the right decision to stay focused. So if someone is listening in the audience and they go, hey, Special Eats OC sounds cool. I'd like to learn more about what Aeneas is doing. How would you suggest they learn more about you and your firm?
Well, Well, I've launched a Facebook page, which is, Facebook/SpecialEatsOC. And I'm in the process of launching my website. And once I do, I'll post the link on the Facebook page. But what I do is I post picture recipes, healthy tips, and, you know, suggestions on how to live the nutritious, delicious lifestyle. So right now, you know, that's the best way to get a hold of me. The whole website process is so time consuming, and you know, it's difficult. I'm not tech savvy, so I'm still working on that. But or you can email me at Anais, which is spelled ANAIS@specialeatsoc.com.
All right. Well, I am going to wish you tremendous success. I'm looking forward to having you back to share with us your trials and tribulations and successes as you move forward with your business. I think Special Eats OC has a great opportunity, especially here in Orange County, California, to resonate with people's awakening from their dietary needs. And I just want to thank you for giving us of your time today, Anais, to be on the show.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity, and you know, this is a great show, and you really connect us with, you know, amazing resources, and I really appreciated this opportunity, so thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day, and we'll talk with you again soon, and look forward to your continued success.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Have a great day,
bye.
Too.
Bye. Bye. I do think Anais has a chance to really capitalize on what is going on within people's awakening for their dietary food and what they're doing. And I think you obviously hear in her voice, she's a humble entrepreneur who is learning how to be successful in the world. She did come to our executive conference last week. It just demonstrates the range of lifelong learners there are. She's obviously on the beginning of her learning curve to be successful as a business entrepreneur. But what I saw from her when I started to talk to her about being on the radio show and what she was doing to be successful, I really thought this is someone that we could have on the show that the audience would enjoy listening to. And certainly if you're interested in a healthy and nutritious menu, I highly recommend taking a look at what she has to offer from a dining experience. I think it's going to be great. You know, we're always looking here on Critical Mass, the radio show, to expose you to the widest range of guests and speakers and thoughts that we can. This community is such a diverse and different business climate that, you know, there are, you know, significant large-scale companies that are global and successful in nature, and there are one-person businesses that have been around for 30 years that are successful, and there are brand-new startup businesses that you can learn from as well. You know, time in the business doesn't always make the necessarily relate to the amount of information that you can learn from a guest. And so I just think there are more outstanding entrepreneurs here in Orange County than we are aware of. And the business schools and the MBA programs are turning out some really high energy, thoughtful, young entrepreneurs who are going to be bringing some really great companies into Orange County's vernacular moving forward. You know, think about some of the names that we, you know and love. I was reading an article on In-N-Out Burger and the family that, you know, kind of drives and leads In-N-Out Burger. Hey, that was a family restaurant decades ago, and now look at it. It's a significant entity and a well-known, it's almost a destination place. People from out of California, when they come to Orange County, at least, I got to have an In-N-Out Burger. And it's not just Orange County. It's every location that In-N-Out has, Vegas. I mean, it can be wherever they might. So all I'm saying is, I'm not saying that Special Eats OC is the next In-N-Out Burger, but what I am saying is you just never know, do you? And you've got to kind of place your bets on the entrepreneur. And so I'm also suggesting if there are others out there that are listening to this show going, hey, my business isn't much further along than Special Eats OC, I wonder if Rick and Doug would be interested in having me on a future installment of Critical Mass, the radio show. The answer is most certainly yes. We would welcome that. We, again, find diversity of businesses and backgrounds interesting. So would strongly suggest if you're interested in contacting us. And the way you can do that is either through the radio station here, you know, octalkradio.net that you're listening to us if you're listening live, or another way is to reach us by email. And my email is rfranzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I, at criticalmassforbusiness.com. That's rfranzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I, at criticalmassforbusiness.com. And if you can reach out to me that way, I'll be more than happy to talk with you about a future guest. Speaking of future guests, we're going to be bringing two gentlemen on from the firm, the General Counsel, here in a minute. I see my producer is calling their respective numbers to bring them on the phone. We're going to have Stuart Blake and Michael Oswald on the show. We're going to be talking about what I think is another fascinating business model. In today's environment, entrepreneurs and business owners are really looking to not just outsource, because that kind of sounds like a four-letter word many times to business owners, but really to leverage the skills that are available to them in the Orange County business community. And these two gentlemen have lead a business that I think is really appropriate for small and mid-sized business and larger firms too as well, who are looking to get really high quality and senior level general counsel kind of advice and experience, but do it in a way that it is engaging with a firm that is on a kind of as needed basis. And so when I met them through a mutual friend, I thought, well, you guys have to get on the show, Michael and Stuart, and we need to kind of talk a bit about your business so that we can expose the business community here in Orange County to really what I think is a powerful way for them to get the benefit of senior level advice without, having to encumber their business with that type of an expense on an ongoing basis. It's kind of as needed. So when Paul, our producer, gets both Stuart Blake and Michael Oswald on the show, we're going to be right on interview so that I can have them give us, kind of their background and then what it is about their firm that I think would be interesting for our audience, which are, business owners and executives to learned from. Stuart and Michael both were able to attend the executive conference last week. And so yet again, ladies and gentlemen, that's kind of a good indication of how they're, the range of audiences that come to our, once every 6 months, twice a year, executive conferences. That's another opportunity for the Critical Mass business community to kind of network and get to know one another. Many times radio show people, radio show guests, hey, I heard you on the show, and it kind of builds this natural relationship that exists. The business, Critical Mass for Business, is a boutique consulting firm, admittedly, and we work with a number of businesses here in Orange County, California, and we're always on the lookout for resource experts, people with knowledge and experience, we believe, are able to help expose the business community to the services that they really need, but maybe many times don't realize exist here in the greater business community. So, we're going to bring Stuart on the line, and we're going to begin the interview with Stuart Blake. And as Paul Roberts, my multi-talented and multitasking? Yes. My skillful producer. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain because he doesn't exist. Is working to, sometimes I have to admit, the technology of bringing more than one guest on at a time may present a little bit of a challenge to us, but never unattainable. Just a little bit of a of a challenge. So we're going to get at least Stuart to begin the interview, I understand, from the general counsel, and maybe we'll have Michael in a minute. And Stuart, are you available and on the line at this time?
Yes, I am. Hi, Rick.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Why don't we move right into the interview? Give us a sense for your background that I sort of did. You might have heard a little bit of it, sort of gave a sense for the general counsel, but I want you to talk about the firm in more detail, obviously. But first, could you share with our audience your personal and professional path to the general counsel?
Sure. I've been in-house counsel virtually all of my legal career. I spent one quick year in an outside law firm and then spent 6 years as in-house counsel with Burger King Corporation, another 6 years as general counsel with Baskin-Robbins, the famous ice cream chain, and then 5 years as general counsel with Kinko's in the years prior to their acquisition by FedEx. And then since then, I've been general counsel of a small consumer electronics firm, and the last 5 years, a co-founder of the general counsel.
Interesting experience. All names that I certainly, the first three that you mentioned, I recognize, and I'm sure many in our audience do. So what is it that, tell me about the general counsel, and what is it that you offer to the business community here in Orange County, and probably in a wider spectrum than just Orange County, but specifically in the Orange County business community?
Well, basically what we provide is interim and part-time in-house general counsel solutions to small and mid-sized companies. And that came about a little over 5 years ago. I was doing some contract assignments while I was in transition and realized that small and mid-sized companies are really at a disadvantage because it's too expensive for them generally to hire a full-time experienced general counsel. And then the rates that outside law firms charge are very expensive. So there was this gap in the market where small to mid-sized companies wouldn't go out and seek the legal help that they needed to handle the day-to-day issues that arose in their businesses. So we formed the general counsel, which actually is not a law firm. It's a legal staffing firm that acts as a marketing and staffing platform for independent general counsels who work on-site at the client's offices for flat monthly or project fees. And some of the benefits that we provide as we work on-site are that we free up the CEO and CFO, who generally get more involved in legal issues for small companies, to focus more on the core operations of the company as opposed to focusing on the legal issues of the company. We're also, because we work on site and just roll up our sleeves and get into the business, we're better able to really work with the strengths and opportunities as the company grows. We generally manage outside counsel relationships because we don't do all the things. We really work as generalists in the company, so we do have outside counsel that we work with that we manage. But we really add value by preventing legal issues up front rather than trying to deal with them after they've come up on a reactive basis, which generally smaller companies tend to be more reactive and deal with the problem after it arises as opposed to trying to get ahead of the curve and deal with issues ahead of time. So that's our primary focus as we're working on site in our clients' offices.
Well, Stuart, that's a great and comprehensive look at the general counsel, and I believe now we have your business partner, Michael Oswald, on the line. Michael, okay. Welcome to Critical Mass, the radio. Okay. Unless he sounds amazingly like a dial tone, that's not Michael. So, Stuart, are you still with us on Critical Mass, the radio show? It would appear to me that I'm getting the I don't know sign, which is great. Hey, this is live radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is what makes it exciting to be a host of a business talk show, is not always knowing what's around the next corner. Isn't that amazingly like our business life? You know, you think you know. We've done 200 some shows. You think you know what you know. It's what you don't know sometimes that causes you to have to think on your feet. And so with Stuart and Michael, they have a high value message that I really want to make sure we connect to the audience. And that's why I have both partners on, because with Doug and I, many people that have worked with Doug and I, they said, geez, you guys are different, but you have unique strengths. And I found that with Stuart and Michael too. And I think that's one of the advantages sometimes you have, as a business when you engage a client or a partner who has two principles. You get really two for the price of one, if that makes sense. You get this extra skill set that comes along with the business, which is, I think, quite important. And so that's why I'm challenging my production staff to, yes, I am, to bring on two guests at the same time, because the diversity there is important. And so I think I'm saying I have my guests back on the line. Is that correct? Yes. So Michael and Stuart, are you on the line with Rick Franzi on Critical Mass, the radio show?
Yeah, Rick. Michael Oswald here.
Great. Well, Michael, let's ask you different question, because I think Stuart pretty well addressed the general counsel. I'm not sure how much of your answer he heard, but maybe there's something you want to add to the question about, you know, what is it that makes general counsel unique and different, and what do you do in the marketplace? Maybe you can help us to understand the kind of industries and clients that use your services.
Sure. Well, I like to say that because of all of the years of in-house experience that each of us has, and by that I mean not just practicing law, but a lot of us have served in non-law capacities at some of our employers. I used to be a contract administrator in the aerospace business, and I even ran a supplier quality assessment program for an aerospace consortium. So a lot of us bring that kind of job function diversity to the party, and industry diversity. We actually have 12 partners in our group. We're spread all over California, and we come from backgrounds as disparate as real estate development and entertainment and life science and healthcare. I come from construction, aerospace, and technology myself. And so with those different skill sets combined, we like to call ourselves business people who, oh, by the way, have law degrees.
That's an interesting combination. Business degrees, I mean, business people with law degrees. And I'll admit, Michael, I'm having a little trouble hearing you on the show today. And I'm going to tell the listening audience, because I truly value what Stuart and Michael are doing in the marketplace, I'm probably going to ask them both to come back and be a guest on a near-term future installment of Critical Mass, the radio show, where we can give them better airtime so that people can hear the show the way that we intended it to be. So, guys, I don't if you're open to that, and I'm kind of putting you on the spot here publicly, but that's okay. I'd like to have you back in the not-too-distant future to really do justice to the interview that I had planned for you today.
Yeah, we would be happy to.
Okay. So I think it's probably best, because really the boards, I'm getting on my headset here on the radio show, I'm getting a little bit of feedback, and I'm sure it's hard for the listening audience, and it doesn't put the general counsel in the light that you guys deserve. I'm going to ask, if you don't mind, that we'll probably just postpone this interview until I can get you back on the show. And as luck would have it, I have a couple near-term openings, which will hopefully work with your schedule, and we can get you back on Critical Mass, the radio show.
That would be fine.
Okay. So I apologize for the technical difficulties. It is the challenges inherent in internet radio at times, but it's probably best for all if we stop the interview at this time, Mr. Producer, and I will recover and have Stuart, Blake, and Michael Oswald back on the show to talk about the general counsel in much more detail with great audio, and we're going to dedicate a little bit more time to both of them and really spend time with them on their business, because I want the audience to understand what it is they do and a little bit more about their firm. So I think what's probably important now is if we're going to sign off as we usually do, and we're going to be okay because the producer has so many skills. If you saw what I could see from this producer, ladies and gentlemen, you would know the meaning of working under pressure. And I'm not satisfied that we didn't do justice to our guest today. A part of me is sort of enjoying him from the brow the way he's doing that. That's at least we got that going for us. So he's going to cut the music, and basically that's going to be the end of our show. So I'm going to let him take us off the board and put some music on. And this is Rick Franzi saying, here's hoping that all your business decisions do move your business in a positive direction. Thank you.
You've been listening to Critical Mass, only on octalkradio.net. Stay tuned for Pilgrim on the 405 coming up next.